Welcome to Fantasy Football Weekly, a production of iHeartRadio.
Time now for Fantasy Football Weekly from iHeartRadio, your weekly source for the nation's best fantasy football advice, speculation, and whatever stupid stuff they decide to drop into the show. Now here's your host, Paul Charchian.
Welcome to Fantasy Football Weekly. I am Paul Charchian. My co-host this week is Brian Johnson. Hello, Brian.
Hello, George. Great to hear your voice.
Yeah.
I wish I could see your face.
I know. Well, it's a mixed blessing at best. And this week, Brian, we're going to break down rookie wide receivers. It's a crazy, crazy draft for wide receivers. We're going to limit our discussion this week to just seven guys. Next week, we'll probably do another seven. And in a different year, these second seven would be the first guys taken.
Yeah, we should preface this with yes, a plethora of talent out there. And I think the teams that we're looking at who could draft one of these guys in day one or day two even are the Jets, Raiders, Broncos, Jaguars, Eagles, Vikings, Packers, Niners, Titans. Would you agree with that?
Yes, I think every one of those they're all good candidates. I was debating Dolphins earlier today, yeah. And I don't think they're going to go early at wide receiver. I think they love Preston Williams, and
Devontae Parker.
Of course, they got Parker, two right? They just re-signed Parker. Yeah. So yeah, I think they're gonna. I don't think they're going to spend. And if they have so many team needs, I don't think the Dolphins are going to be in on this. Now, the guys that we're going to talk about, we're going to do them in order of what I think the preference is right now, but that's totally up to change based on where they land. You know, at the end of the day, guys are only as good as the quarterback's throwing to them and the offense around them and everything else. So, consider this to be almost like a provisional ranking before the draft, right, Brian?
Yeah, scheme is almost more important than talent in the NFL at times. If you're a great player on a bad team, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
There's some exceptions to the rule, but yes.
I think you and I both have a guy at number one that is in that conversation, but I think most people don't have him number one, and that's C.D. Lamb. Tell people what you love about C.D. Lamb from Oklahoma.
Yeah, wham, bam. Thank you, Lamb. Just recently turned 21. I like to mention the age for the hardcore dynasty guys like myself. A year can make all the difference sometimes, but not really in this case. But good size for C.D., 6'2", 200 pounds. A lot of people comparing him to DeAndre Hopkins, which I think is a fair comp. Ran a 4.5 40 at the combine. Not blazing speed, but he certainly has wheels. 14 touchdowns last year at Oklahoma. 33 total over his three seasons as a Sooner. Just an elite talent. Mm-hmm. Great footwork for a guy with his size. Basically impossible to beat at the catch point. He never dropped a deep pass, a pass of 20-plus yards in his three seasons at Oklahoma. That's crazy.
That's amazing.
Yeah, and then to make matters even better for whoever who drafts Lamb, and I think it's going to be the Jets, by the way. That's my prediction. CD was second among all college wide receivers last year in wide receiver that forced a missed tackle on a catch. A percentage of their catches. I'm sorry, that didn't come out too good. On 42% of his catches, he forced a missed tackle. So not only does he catch the ball, he creates more yards. So I love CD Lamb, and I don't know how much more I can say how much I love this guy. He's way above Ruggs and Judy now, in my opinion.
I agree, but I think you and I are in the minority on this. A couple of things about Lamb that I want to work with that I didn't hear you talk as much about. It's what he does after the catch. To me, that is the stuff you either got it or you don't. Mm-hmm. He is electrifying after the catch and so creative. He will catch the ball and there's three guys within 5 yards of him. And the next thing I know, he's beat all three and he's running down the sideline. How did you do this? He's so creative after the catch. And you either got that or you don't. He isn't Tyreek Hill stylistically, but it's like Tyreek Hill. When Hill catches the ball, it almost doesn't matter who's around him. I mean, he just finds ways to make amazing things happen after the catch. CeeDee Lamb's got that. And that's part of what I love about him. And it's just the electric moves, the yards after catch, the elusiveness, and he's sneaky strong. He's not, he's not Tyreek Hill. He's not slight of build. He's 6'2". He's 190 pounds. He's plenty of size. Yep. There's there's so much to like about him. And you mentioned the broken tackles. 26 broken tackles last year was good for number two in the country. CeeDee Lamb, to me, is in an astounding year of just deep receivers. He's my favorite receiver. I think he fits every scheme. I don't think there's any team out there that he would not end up being somebody that could be used and used well. So I don't think there's a scenario out there where CeeDee Lamb is not electrifying.
For fantasy purposes, redraft, where do you think is the best fit for fantasy? I think he goes to the Jets, Raiders, or Broncos, and that's like picks 11, 12, and 15 right there in that order. Denver would be exciting with Cortland Sutton on the other side. But yeah.
I'd love to have him in Denver with an emerging Drew Lock, who we're all optimistic about. And I'll give you another. I mean, if I could just pick spots for teams that have a need, I might pick San Francisco. All right, let's go to our number two guy, Henry Ruggs from Alabama. He's the first of two Alabama guys. You've got Ruggs a spot ahead of Judy, which I don't have a problem with. A lot of people will, but let's talk about Ruggs first.
Well, you just said that CeeDee Lamb was not Tyreek Hill. Well, Henry Ruggs is Tyreek Hill. That's the best comp we have out there. 5'11", 190. He's actually he's got a little more bulk to him than Tyreek. Tyreek's only about 180. Ruggs ran a 4.27 at the combine. That is just insanely fast. Elite acceleration and speed, home run potential anytime he gets the ball in space, just like Tyreek Hill. Didn't post big numbers at Alabama last year, but of course he was competing with Jerry Jeudy for targets. But so 5'11", you know, people like taller receivers, but that's just not the kind of receiver he is, or Tyreek Hill. Tyreek Hill is a top five wide receiver in fantasy football.
Yeah.
Ruggs has that potential too. And I found this, you know, we always love talking about hand size, and I won't say what size else, but CeeDee Lamb's hands, 9 1/4. Jerry Jeudy, 9.5 inches.
Okay.
Henry Ruggs, 10 1/8 inches.
Jeez.
He's got bigger hands than Lamb and Jeudy. So bigger hands are better than small hands with a wide receiver, that's for sure. So, yeah, Ruggs, you know, he's not, him and Jeudy are 2A, 2B, however you want to call it. But, yeah, Ruggs has a little higher ceiling, I feel like.
I think he does have the higher ceiling because of the speed. The 4.27 speed?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my God. And In unlike most speed guys, he's got the complete game to go with it. He can beat press coverage. So, you know, he's not like so slight of build that he just gets knocked around at the line of scrimmage and its route is dead. He's just deadly in space. He catches over the middle and then just hits the gas and gone. And it's just, and by the way, and the hands, he dropped 5 passes his entire college career for Henry Ruggs. 5. That's it. He ran from the outside. He ran from the slots. The quarterback passer rating when targeting Henry Ruggs, 151.
Just dump it off to him.
A perfect rating is 158. It's astounding for him. I think Ruggs will go before Jeudy. I would not be surprised to see Ruggs could go number one. Most people have got Jeudy one. I've got it, Lamb, Ruggs, Jeudy. I think it'll be fascinating to see which way teams want to go. Now, you talked about the Jets. I've got Jeudy. I've got Ruggs very possibly going to the Jets too. And you know, maybe it's just we're focusing on the Jets because these are elite receivers and they're really the first team up that's likely to take a wide out. But yeah, it would mean for the Jets offense to get a guy like Ruggs or really Lamb would be hard to overstate.
Yep, I agree totally.
All right, so let's go to Jerry Jeudy. So he's next, the third of the big three wide receivers in this draft, and he's the guy who played along with Henry Ruggs, and he was actually the more productive of the two.
Oh, yeah. He 24 touchdowns across his last two seasons at Alabama. Should mention 6'1", 195, ran a 4.45 40 at the combine. His closest comp could be OBJ, I would say. Kind of looks like Beckham without the baggage, hopefully. But yeah, he wasn't the quarterback. He didn't run it, but he was the key piece of that Alabama spread offense. The one concern with him is that physical corners in the NFL might pose a problem for him, especially in press coverage. He might need to bulk up a little bit there. And he doesn't have a big wingspan either. Only 76 inches is like the bottom of the barrel when it came to wide receivers at the combine. And 6'1", 195 is decent size, but it's kind of a tweener almost. Mm-hmm. So I said, he just doesn't have a high ceiling as Ruggs and Lamb, in my opinion, but he's still going to be a very, very good wide receiver. He needs scheme more so than the other two guys, in my opinion. He needs to land in the right spot.
You know, Jerry Jeudy also mostly ran from the slot, and I think that's going to really, I think that really means there's some teams that just aren't going to draft him, aren't as likely to draft him, because it really comes down to a lot of, you know, do you need a slot receiver? Do you scheme for a slot receiver? But the Raiders could desperately use a slot receiver. They need everything, but they could really use a slot receiver. I think the Raiders are certainly in play here as a possibility, at least for Jerry Jeudy at potentially number 12 or number 19, if he were to fall that far.
Yeah, agreed. I wanted to mention, it would be cool if we go back to, scratch that.
No problem.
Carry on.
Okay. All right, so we've hit on the big three. CeeDee Lamb, Henry Ruggs, Jerry Jeudy. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, I want to start with the first of two of the big men that have the possibility of being real impact guys early in the season for fantasy owners. This is a draft with a ton of speed and small, not even smaller guys, but medium build guys with a ton of speed. What about the true big men in this draft at the receiver position? We'll talk about them in moments. Welcome back to Fantasy Football Weekly. Paul Charchian with you. Brian Johnson, my co-host this week. We've broken down CeeDee Lamb, Henry Ruggs, Jerry Jeudy, the big three wide receivers. But this is such a deep draft class. This next tier of guys would normally be the first rounders we'd be talking about. And they'll still probably, many of these will probably still go in the first round. Let's start with the first of the big men to talk about in this draft. And that's T. Higgins from Clemson, Brian.
Yeah, T. Higgins, 6'4", 210 pounds. Didn't run any drills at the combine, but ran at Clemson's pro day. Ran two mid 4.5s in the 40, not elite, but pretty good speed. His closest comp is probably like an AJ Green type player. I say that because he can high point the ball over any cornerback pretty much in college or the NFL, and he just looks kind of squirmy on film, kind of like a Dennis Rodman. At wide receiver, he can essentially box out the cornerback and any contested catch on the ground when they're not jumping. But if they need to jump, that 6'4 frame comes in handy. That goes to show by scoring 13 touchdowns at Clemson last year, 12 the year before. He's definitely going mid to late first round, one would think.
I would think so, too. And, you know, the big men aren't always as flashy, but when you look at most of today's elite receivers, Brian, like if we were to look at the top 7-8 wide receivers in the NFL and the guys who have consistency and long success over multiple seasons, most of them are bigger receivers. I mean, you know, there is Tyreek Hill, we've mentioned now a couple of times, but the majority of the great receivers that are good year in and year out, you know, generally bigger bodied guys that body can take the pounding over the course of a lot of time and a lot of play. You know, Michael Thomas, Kenny Galladay, Julio Jones, Amari Cooper, Mike Evans, DeAndre Hopkins. I mean, these are bigger bodied receivers. And I think they don't, you know, they get overlooked a little bit by both people that just follow the draft and then fantasy owners as well.
Yeah, when I compare him to A.J. Green, that's a healthy A.J. Green. Let's hope he doesn't have the injury plagues towards the end of his career like A.J.'s having, unfortunately.
No, for sure not. Other things about T. Higgins that I really love, and you really hit on this, the huge catch radius, and he plays above the rim, right? I mean, when that ball's in the air, he thinks he owns it, goes up, he wins all these contested catches for sure. Surprising speed for a big guy in T. Higgins. And he's got these long strides. You watch him run, and these long strides that just eat up yards underneath him. There's that leaping ability, his height. He's going to be a goal line receiver, potentially like what Brandon Marshall was. You know, it'd be first and goal from the three. You know, like throw to Brandon Marshall. Nobody could stop him on the 3 yard button hook out. It was just, you know, he just won all of those. So. That's going to be, I think, where T. Higgins could really help fantasy owners in the touchdown department.
Yeah, I honestly haven't checked, but I would bet he played basketball in high school and probably could have gotten a college scholarship playing basketball if he so chose.
Yeah, he looks like a power forward, doesn't he?
Yep.
T. Higgins, 6'4", 215.
Well, 6'4", more like a swing man. We'll give him
maybe more like a three.
Yeah.
Yeah, let's call him a three. At 6'4", you're right. He's like a three. All right, let's go to Justin Jefferson, who you've got next. This is a kid from LSU who played almost entirely from the slot last year.
Yeah, 6'2", 200 pounds, ran a 4.43 40. That is very fast. I like to compare him to, he sort of looks like a Michael Thomas, who you compared T. Higgins to, and T. Higgins and Justin Jefferson are kind of in the same boat. And I got to give you some props, George. I remember this would have been 2016 when the Michael Thomas draft.
Yeah, I think so.
15, 16, I think it was 16.
Yeah, 16, but, yep.
Local radio, you were banging the drum for Michael Thomas to go to the Vikings. And this was when Corey Coleman went first round. Treadwell,
Doxson
went for Treadwell, and then Thomas went in the second, and we all know who everyone should have picked.
Right, real obvious Cole. Now. Right.
So, but anyway, I'd give you some depth there, Charles, because you were banging the drum hard for Thomas. But back to Justin Jefferson, 18 touchdowns at LSU last year, probably most certainly improved Joe Burrow's draft stock. And on tape,
Justin. Or is it the other way around? Did Joe Burrow inflate Jefferson's stats? It could go either way if you want to make that case.
Yeah, I don't know if Burrow makes Jefferson the plus route runner who can win outside and is fearless across the middle. I don't know if Joe Burrow can take the credit for that. I'll say it's Justin Jefferson's. Jefferson can just do it all. His ceiling might not be as high as the top three or four guys, but it's damn close. But he could have the safest floor among all these first, early, second-round wide receivers. I think he's just a lock to be a steady producer in the NFL with a very high all-pro ceiling.
Justin Jefferson, insanely productive at LSU. And, you know, again, it helps. You've got Joe Burrow throwing you all these catchable passes, but in his defense, he's also one of the best contested catch receivers in this draft, which is saying a lot because this draft is filled with guys that were awesome at that. He's got a vicious double move, and you'll see him on if you just watch highlights of Justin Jefferson, you'll see the double move that's just shredding cornerbacks around him. He can break tackles in the open field. To me, the only downside in Jefferson is that he probably ends up playing from the slot, and from an entirely fantasy standpoint, you know, your upside on elite slot receivers is usually in the Jarvis Landry, Julian Edelman, Cooper Kupp level, which are typically like tier two receivers from a fantasy standpoint. Julian Edelman's been incredibly important to the Patriots, but he's not been on the same level as Michael Thomas and Julio Jones and some of those guys. So for me, that's the only downside on Justin Jefferson is that he'll probably play most of his snaps from the slot.
Couldn't you argue, though, that it's going the way of where slot receivers are producing more because they're putting better receivers in the slot against the worst cornerback on the team in most cases. Now, teams are struggling to keep enough corners on roster to keep up with the wide receivers in the league thus far. So I'll play good cop for Jefferson in that regard. But I agree. You prefer to have them on the outside for sure.
Okay. Next, let's turn our attention to Jalen Reagor from TCU. He was productive despite horrible quarterbacking at TCU, and a great note from Pro Football Focus, 30% of the throws that went to Jalen Reagor were deemed as accurate. That's horrible.
Yeah, TCU had a restarting a Kansas State transfer. That can't be anything good. And then they went to the true freshman, Max Dugan, only a few games into the season. So, yeah, Jalen Reagor had no shot really to post any big numbers last year. He's not too big himself, 5'11", 205, very fast, though, ran a 4.47. Taking out last year's wash of a season, he had 26 touchdowns in 39 career games. I'm sorry, that is including last year's poor season. Those are still very impressive numbers. Again, didn't post eye-popping numbers at the combine, but still one of the most electric receivers in the draft. Can kill you on go routes, has like video game moves, can stop on a dime and redirect at will. He's going to break a lot of ankles in the NFL, and I'm excited to watch him play.
I am too. There's a lot of talk here in Minnesota that potentially could end up being one of the Vikings picks. They're at pick 22 and 25 in the draft, and that's about where most mocks have got Jalen Reagor going. And it would be an immediate fit for a team that needs to replace Stephon Diggs. Also, we saw him as a fearless player that can go across the middle, that can go deep, doesn't and find some separation. And Kirk Cousins is a really good deep ball passer.
Yep, it's a small bonus in fantasy. It's more of a boon in reality football. But he's also a killer in the return game, and we'll probably see him returning kicks. But you know, you can get some points in fantasy football for sure.
He is an awesome punt returner, one of the best in the nation. And the Vikings do need a punt returner, so I think Minnesota is a potential landing spot for him as well. We'll take one more break, Brian. We come back, I want to talk about the other big-bodied player that can make an immediate impact, and then a couple of the notable omissions that we'll touch on as well as we work through our top seven fantasy prospects, pre-draft fantasy prospects among rookie wide receivers. It's Fantasy Football Weekly. Welcome back to Fantasy Football Weekly. Paul Charchin and Brian Johnson with you. We've already broken down the fantasy prospects of CeeDee Lamb, Henry Ruggs, Jerry Jeudy, T. Higgins, Justin Jefferson, Jalen Reagor. And I want to talk about the last of the seven guys that we really want to focus on here. And maybe a guy I think you like a little bit more than others do, Brian, and that's Michael Pittman from USC. Tell listeners about him.
Big guy, probably the biggest, both in height and physicality when it comes to the day one, day two receivers. 6'4", 225, not super fast, nor should he be at that size. Ran a 4.52 40 at the combine, but had over 1,200 yards and 11 touchdowns at USC last year. Caught 101 passes. That is unreal in college.
That is.
Only three drops on 133 targets, too.
Unbelievable. Yes.
To put that into perspective, Jerry Jeudy had seven drops on 108 targets.
Yeah.
So Michael Pittman catches everything that comes his way. A ridiculous wingspan of nearly 80 inches. Jeudy, 76 inches again. That is a massive difference when it comes to catch radius.
Well, it's about the width of the ball.
Yeah.
I mean, that says a lot. And, if you think of a ball length, that's the difference between you extending and getting the ball and you extending and not getting the ball.
Yeah, quite literally a game of inches. So I don't understand why I might be a little higher than most on Michael Pittman. I also don't see what the real problem is here, what the hangup is. So, but I'm just more of a gut feel, I guess you would say. But I like Michael Pittman Jr., son of Michael Pittman, running back, the biggest guns in the NFL back in the day.
Yeah, do you remember that?
And
he was absolutely built. He won a Super Bowl in the Brad Johnson victory over Rich Gannon and the Raiders that year. So his dad's got the Super Bowl ring. Now Michael Pittman Jr., so strong. Just toying with defenders. And after the catch, he's got this lethal stiff arm that he unleashes all the time. Now, I don't know if the stiff arm is going to work as well in the NFL, where your tacklers are a lot more disciplined and they're hitting you a lot lower than usually these college kids are. But it was just brutal at the college level. He wins these contested catches all the time, and then just the breaking the tackles afterwards. And also, by the way, not only is Michael Pittman a decent punt returner, he's got a bunch of blocks as a punt rusher. So, go figure. There were some times where they were using him as a punt returner, and when he wasn't doing that, he was rushing and blocking punts. Weird and wild. And it says, I think, a lot about his overall athleticism, and part of it's that wingspan. You've got that 80-inch wingspan. Throw him on the punt block team.
How about a reunion with Sam Darnold? Did they somehow get him in the second round? He played with old Sam at USC.
It's not impossible. Yeah, no. It's not impossible. If the Jets, and the Jets are a team with a lot of need, if the Jets decide to go some other direction than wide receiver in the first round, they need corner help, they need D-end, they need, offensive line, they need a lot of things. It's very possible that Pittman gets reunited. That is not out of the question. Now, when we talk through your seven guys, there's two names that most people have ranked ahead of several of yours. And so I just want to touch on Denzel Mims and Laviska Shenault, and those two guys who I think many people are intrigued by, especially if you just watch their highlights, because both guys are crazy playmakers and have really, really high upside. And I think it's fair to just touch on them a little bit here. We're going to do a deeper dive on them next week for sure, Brian. But, you know, Denzel Mims, the 4.38 speed at Baylor, and I think was generally thought of as a second-round guy probably, but then he rolled into this offseason. He had an awesome combine where he crushed all the drills, had a really good Senior Bowl, and a lot of people think that he managed to move his way into the first round.
Yeah, I think just the main concern with him is he might be just a little bit raw, but which doesn't mean he's not going to turn out to be a great pro. I don't think he's going to produce consistently in redraft leagues this year. But yeah, I love Denzel Mims. Speaking of, though, do you think all these rookies, let's just say that the season starts on time, right? We're going to be optimistic and say the season starts on time.
Yeah.
These rookies are probably not going to produce at the level they should, though, all of them across the board, unfortunately, without the, you know, the standard offseason regimen, basically.
If you believe the old axiom that that the offense needs more time to get right because it's got to do like all the timing and all the throws and everything else, then yeah, I mean, it might be that, you know, across the board, offenses just struggle, and rookies in particular, because they don't have the advantage of the OTAs and the rookie minicamps. And yeah, it might be that case. But the other side of it, Brian, is this crop of receivers are so good. If it's ever going to happen, this is the perfect year for this. I mean, I think CeeDee Lamb and Henry Ruggs and Jerry Jeudy are guys that can just, they'll hit the field and they'll be good in very, very short order.
Oh, can't wait to watch it happen too. But yeah, yeah. Mims, I got nothing bad to say about him. It wasn't an easy decision. We certainly could extend this podcast on for another hour talking about all the receivers in this draft. That's why we'll do it next week, right?
But we'll do that. Yeah, we're gonna have a whole other batch of receivers, including these guys, next week. Let me mention Laviska Shenault from Colorado, who's absolutely fascinating and arguably, in my mind, he's as big a playmaker. And his upside from just a playmaker standpoint, it's at that level of Lamb and Ruggs and Jeudy. He is such a freak athlete and so explosive who can do so much with the ball in his hands. He broke 44 tackles the last 2 years. 44! The most of any receiver in this rookie class. And when you combine that with the speed and explosiveness, holy cow. Now, the downside in Shenault, Brian, as you know, it's the injuries. He had a thumb injury. He's had a torn labrum. So I think for some teams, they're going to have some concerns there.
Yeah, definitely. And like you said, a freakish athlete. But I think the from the scouts that I truly expect what I've read, what they said, the true concern is like how good of a football player is he? He can position himself poorly downfield. At times, really struggles tracking the ball. He only had 10 receiving touchdowns at Colorado over his 3-year career.
Yeah, although he had 7 rushing touchdowns to go with those 10.
I'm not gonna bank on those in the NFL as much as I would in college. But the injury is a slight concern, but it's nothing major. Like he's, you know, tearing Achilles or blowing out ACLs or MCLs. So yeah, Shenault, another guy with a very, very high ceiling, but I think he has one of the more scarier floors than all the guys we've talked about today.
Yeah, that may very well be right. And it'll be fascinating to see where these goes. Now, let me just hit you with one other rookie wide receiver question. With all the depth at receiver this year, and we're talking about what appears to be right now historic levels of wide receiver depth, do you think that a lot of the wide receiver needy teams are going to slough receiver, knowing that this year's second rounder would be a different year's first rounder, and this year's third rounder would be a different year's second rounder? Do you think that position is going to get sloughed more because the depth at the position is so good?
Yeah, it's quite possible. There could be a domino effect if the Jets pass. They're the first wide receiver needy team that'll be on the clock. If they somehow pass, then other teams, yeah, it could be a snowball effect there. And from a fantasy football perspective, the true like wide receiver one is an endangered species these days, really, when you think about it, right? There used to be like 10 to 12 guys, you know, doing the opposite was a no-brainer. But now, do the opposite, you know, zero running back, which no one likes to call it that, especially on this show, whatever you call it, but we call it do the opposite. There's just so many good wide receivers these days, it's unreal.
Yeah, I mean, we look at teams that have a lot of need. You know, let's take Las Vegas with 2 picks in the first round. you're Las Vegas, and you wide receiver is near the top of your needs list, but you also need a lot of other help. You need linebacker, you need cornerback, you might need quarterback if you're Las Vegas. You need a safety. There's a bunch of things that there's a bunch of areas of need for them. They might look at this and just say, you know what? We're gonna get a good wide receiver in round two. So let's address our other needs in round one. And the next thing you know, here comes Jerry Jeudy at 21 for the Eagles, which could absolutely happen.
Yeah. There's a whole nother podcast we can do about wide receivers in this draft, and that's why we'll do one next week, right?
Yes, we will. Brian, thanks for all the help at breaking this down.
That was
and
fun.
Can't wait to look at this all again in a couple of weeks when we know who's landed where, and now we can start putting players onto the teams to figure out who the quarterbacks are going to be and what the scheme's fit's going to be, and we'll reorder all these guys and do it all again in a couple of weeks.
Real quick, before we go, on a scale from 1 to 10, how much of a S show is this online draft going to be, though, for some of these GMs? Dave Gettleman topping that list of GMs.
I think it's going to go fine.
I really do.
Yeah, I mean, here's the thing, right? So there weren't that many players. If you think about what was really happening for years at Radio City Music Hall, there was one guy from each team at that event, and all that guy did from that event was walk a card up to the stage. That was it. So, you know, the fact that there isn't a big in-person thing, to me, doesn't change this all that much. Now, the teams are going to have to coordinate, how do I talk to all my scouts, and how do I talk to everybody, and, you know, they'll have to do some on-the-fly stuff. Here's the big change you're going to see, Brian, I believe. I think you're going to see less trading because it's going to be hard to get, when everybody's in the same room, right? You get a call, you know, your team, you know, pick a team, you're Tampa, and the Tampa gets a call about moving out of position 14. They can't just turn their head and ask 14 people in the room, hey, should we do this deal? Somebody's going to have to, you know, largely, they're going to be, I just think it's going to be more complicated now to try to coordinate everything you want to coordinate to feel good about making a trade when you're not all in the same room, sharing the same resources, looking at the same, war room draft board that used to be an entire wall in scale and now is just kind of, it's sitting on a window on your computer. So I think we're going to see less trades and less movement this year because teams just aren't going to be able to make those in-draft decisions very easily.
What I hope the league does is they send every player, at least in the first round, first, second round guys, every hat, every team's hat, and every jersey with their name on it. So a family member can, you know, put the hat on them and
yeah,
hold
it could
up
be.
The jersey. Because that's the best part is that when they put the hat on and the jersey, that's the, this sucks.
Yeah, it's not ideal. It's not ideal. But here's the other side of it is, as somebody who loves the draft, and I do, I love these 3 days. So much fun. The whole world's watching this draft. Or at least all of America's watching this draft in a way that it's never been before. And I think the NFL's going to have it buttoned up and it's going to go fine. And
I think it's going to be a great escape.
The interest in this draft will be the most watched draft ever.
Oh, agreed.
This is it for sports. This is by far the biggest thing that's happened in the last month and will happen for 2 or 3 months after that. So I think knowing that, I think there's going to be a lot of people that are going to hunker down, and it's going to be all draft coverage all day long for 3 days. And it's going to be great.
Well, as a guy who's about to go watch some esports Counter-Strike after we stop recording, I cannot wait for the drafts. I'll tell you that much.
I hear you. Thanks, Brian.
Yep, thanks, Paul.
All right, we'll talk to you all next week. Thanks for listening to Fantasy Football Weekly. Fantasy Football Weekly is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.